On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On The Pace.
Galley on Sunset in front of Acacia Ridge. Sundown's Gift going roughly. Sundown's Gift broke up, but it's Galley on Sunset in front, and it'll do it all the way.
Here's Bowtide. Oh, the Tassie Terminator dashes to the lead. It's put pay to them in one fell swoop.
With all the latest harness racing happenings from around New South Wales and across Australasia, here's your host, Gareth Hall.
Hello, we've got a change there. It's not Gareth at all. It's Greg Hayes. How are you, Hazy?
Good, mate. I'm just texting Gareth at the moment, so does that count?
That'll do. Yeah. Substitute. You've late scratching and you're in.
Yes, exactly right. Very exciting time of year. And we've got the Inter-Dominion set to kick off on Friday night. The fields have been announced. The barrier draw will be conducted at 12:30 our time for those first round of heats. We'll go into the barrier draws in depth on In The Gig tonight from 6 o'clock on Sky Racing 2. Just having a look at the heats, and this is what I have been texting Gareth about, is the fact that I think Heat 3 is clearly the strongest heat, and that is Hector JJ's heat. Gareth doesn't seem to think that he has drawn in the strongest heat, but if you haven't heard the heats, I'll just run quickly through. Heat 1, the main guns, you've got Bodine Boaz, Guaranteed, Lenny the Shark. They're the main three in that heat. In Heat 2, and just go back to Heat 1, while we're talking New South Wales horses, Ultimate Art is in that heat. So Bodine Boaz, Guaranteed, Lenny the Shark, and Ultimate Art for the New South Wales fans. Heat 2, the main ones here, John of Arc, Major Crocker, Ahoka Punter, Smolder, and if Andrew Bensley's listening, Yankee Rockstar's in that heat as well. That's the weakest heat for mine. And then you go to Heat 3, and there's a fair bit of interest in this one for the New South Wales fans. Bling It On's in this heat. Freiburg's in that heat. Franco Nelson, Hector JJ, Restrepo. For mine, clearly the strongest heat. And you only have to have a look at the market currently with tab.com.au. Of the top nine horses in the market, four of the nine are in that third and final heat. So I think that's going to be a pretty tough heat to score points in. Obviously, for horses like Freiburg, even a horse like Bling It On, who has been racing so well and did win the Smoking Up Sprint before going across to Perth. But Excitus in the City, who we saw so much of here in Sydney recently, he's another one. It's going to be really tough to score points in that race, especially if Hector JJ draws well and can jump in front and then control it from there. But really looking forward to the Inter-Dominion. Had a good chat with half a dozen guys last night who are well known in harness racing as trainers and drivers, and just speaking to them about the excitement looking forward to this Inter-Dominion series, probably been the most or the best build up for a decade in terms of an Inter-Dominion. Obviously this series has been run in the traditional format and we saw that last year, but I think there's a lot more depth this year than there was last year. Last year it was, you know, Lenny the Shark and basically could he handle the track and could he handle the four runs in the 2 weeks. But this year there's a lot more depth with the likes of Guaranteed going over, or the Emma Stewart trio, and we've also got, you know, great horses like Hector JJ coming into the mix, and Smolder, and Hoka Punter. So it just gives you a little bit more depth. Michael Formosa is the trainer of Ultimate Art. We just mentioned he'll go around in Heat 1 on Friday night. No barrier draws yet, but he's in the Lenny the Shark Guaranteed and Bodine Boaz heat, and Michael Formosa's joining us from WA. Good morning to you, Mick.
Hi, Greg.
Mate, how has Ultimate Art settled into Perth?
Oh, he settled in really good. I was surprised how fresh he was when he came off the plane on Monday morning. It definitely took no edge off him, so no, he settled in real good.
Were you concerned about the flight from Melbourne across to Perth and how it would affect him?
A little bit, because he's such a bad traveller. But in saying that, he's only a bad traveller coming home from the races. He gets a bit anxious and wants to get home in a hurry. But he wasn't too bad. And the guys kept an eye on him and said he didn't move. So it was really good knowing that he saved all his energy.
What were the plans when he first arrived? Did you plan on giving him a couple of easy days?
Sort of had a plan to just give him the Monday off and then job Tuesday and then hobble him a couple of times and then trial him on Sunday at Pinjarra, and everything's gone along really good. So I'm real happy with where he's at.
Now, that trial at Pinjarra, I've had a fair few coat tuggers want to tell me how good that was and how impressive he did it.
Yeah, well, it's funny, Greg. He's pretty intelligent, and he just sort of, he seems to know when it's a trial or a race, and he doesn't really ever look that impressive at the trials. And so we just give him a soft run and pulled him out and let him run, you know, from the 600, and I was surprised how quick he actually went to how easy he'd done it. But yeah, no, I was real pleased with his run.
What sort of times was he going?
He went 54-1 his last half. He went 27-1 and 27 dead outside the leader from about the 600-700. So yeah, it was a very good track in saying that, but he'd done it quite easy.
So how'd he pull up after that?
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, his heart rate was only 76, which is not high at all, so he should benefit from that. And yeah, just have a bit of an easy time from now till Friday, and then all guns blazing, hopefully.
What did you think of the heat that you're drawn to go round in against Lenny the Shark Guaranteed, Bodine Boaz? There's good depth in that heat.
Yeah, it's probably the strongest heat, but I mean, lots going to depend on barrier draws, and at the end of the day, probably every heat's going to be hard. So yeah, you just need that little bit of luck in running and a good barrier draw, and go from there.
Question, will the four runs over the 2 weeks suit him? Is he the sort of horse that can back up and have no problems with that?
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to help him. Early on in his career, he couldn't. He couldn't race close together, but now as he's getting older and he's holding weight better, I think he's really going to benefit from it.
And what have you got plans, what you'll do with him between heats to try and help him get through the series? I know a lot of, especially David Aiken, he likes to get his team out to the beach and walk them through the water. Are you going to be doing anything different that you would that we wouldn't normally see you do after a run to try and help him get through those three runs in the space of 7 days?
Yeah, that's a possibility. We've definitely talked about going to the beach. It looks going to depend how the horse pulls up. But we've got great facilities where I'm staying at Gary Elston's, and got a really good swimming pool here, and I've been swimming in every day. And that would definitely probably get him in the water a lot more in between heats rather than put him on the track.
Is it much different in terms of the training facilities you've got there to what you're used to at home? Obviously, sand-based over there in WA. Have you found it any change to how you'd normally work him?
Not really. Gary's got a 1,000-metre track, and it's heavy sand on the outside, and it's just like a race surface on the inside. I sort of just work in the middle. It's basically what I've sort of... in the middle of his tracks, basically how my track is at home, so it hasn't really affected me at all. I've got a half-mile track, it's a 1,000-metre track here, but it was sort of pretty right before he came, so he just needed that little hit out on Sunday just to top him off. So, yeah, haven't had to adjust too much.
He's no stranger to Inter Dominions. Of course, he won a heat going back to the Sydney series just over 12 months ago. What would getting through to an Inter-Dominion Grand Final in Perth mean to you?
Oh, no, it'd be terrific. Look, we've come here not expecting to set the world on fire. We've come because it's an opportunity of a lifetime for us. You know, first time we've ever had a horse to come to Western Australia. We just thought, heck, we'll just go on, let's have a go and see how far we get.
And I think one thing that does play in your favour is the Gloucester Park track, because while there are a few question marks on some of the bigger guns on whether they'll handle it, we know your bloke, he used to get around the old Bathurst showground. So the Gloucester Park track, it'll feel like a palace to him.
Yeah, I hope so. He's had 9 starts on half-mile tracks and he won 8 of them. The only race he lost, he got checked and galloped. So obviously he wasn't racing in the Dominion class horses, but I had a look at Gloucester Park last Friday and it looked like a terrific stat, so yeah, all going well, he should handle it fine.
Mate, that's a good stat. I might pinch that one for a couple of the previews. 9 starts on half-mile tracks for 8 wins, so he definitely likes the smaller tracks. Great to catch up with you, Mick. All the best of luck on Friday night, especially, well, firstly, later today with a barrier draw. Great barrier, be a great start to the series, and we wish you all the best of luck on Friday night.
Thank you, Greg.
There he is, Michael Formosa, the trainer of Ultimate Art. He did win a heat of the Sydney Inter Dominion. He was the fairy tale story. He was a horse that Michael and his wife, Kirsty Goodyear, bought at the sales. Kirsty, a former jockey, and they bought this horse. They named him Thomas. They spent a lot of money to get him to the races. He ended up winning the Bathurst Gold Crown. He won so much money as a young horse, and he effectively paid off the mortgage of their property up there in the Hunter Valley. The couple have got a couple of young kids. He is like the family pet. And to see him at another Inter Dominion, it is a great story, and we do wish Mick Formosa all the best of luck with Ultimate Art. John Dummersy is the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales. A few things we need to touch base with John about. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Greg.
Firstly, look, there's been plenty of press coverage on this, and that's not a bad thing for harness racing, but to see someone streaking down the track in the last race at Newcastle on Saturday night, very dangerous for everyone concerned, not only for the bloke who did it, but also for all the horsemen and women who were out on the track at the time.
Yeah, certainly some of that coverage was based on the humorous side of it, but it certainly wasn't humorous as far as we're concerned, Harness Racing New South Wales and all the participants, because what the gentleman did was, if he is a gentleman, that is, was very dangerous. He was fined by the police, but we certainly will be pursuing that. We are currently pursuing it, and we're looking at a lifetime ban from harness racing tracks in New South Wales.
It's something that needs to happen, isn't it? Because if the fine of $500 that was levied on him by the police, it's not much of a deterrent. You know, you get out to a buck show, you got 20 blokes there, they all say, let's throw in $25 each and let's get one of us to streak down in the race. You need a deterrent to stop people doing it. It's not the right thing to do, and it's not what we want to see happen when someone could get hurt, and critically so.
Yeah, certainly not critical of what the police did. The police, there'd be parameters in which those fines are covered. Now, there was an incident I noticed in the press where someone got fined $100 for doing something rather stupid and dangerous. So the police did their job very well, and they were on the spot and handled it. But we'll go that step further, and anyone that causes, you know, this could have caused a major catastrophe. If he tripped, those horses were right behind him, and we'll be looking at that lifetime ban. And for anyone else that wants to do anything similar.
Okay. What about, it's a pretty busy time at Harness Racing New South Wales this week. A number of inquiries to be heard?
Yes, we're rounding these off. It's unfortunate that we have so many inquiries, but that's the nature of the business. The stewards and the integrity team are here to keep the people on an even footing, and we have a couple coming up this week. Perhaps they're very highly legally represented, so perhaps they won't be held, but we do have two back in to see us this week.
Okay. What about the two-year-old racing? Obviously, there's a fair bit made of the changes to the Leeton Carnival. It'll remain this year, as we've seen in the past, but there will be changes going forward. How has that all been received?
Well, if we talk about this year alone, there were 26 nominations received by the Leeton Club for the traditional, and we call it traditional because they've been running this race for over half a century, placement of the dates. So that will be a great event, as it is every year. But going forward, we believe that we've pushed it back a little bit into the year, and the Leeton Breeders' Plate will actually be the start of the classic racing, the group racing for two-year-old racing in New South Wales. So going forward, it will fit into the calendar very well, but the calendar itself is always open for discussion and changes from year to year, and we see the sport evolving in different directions. So the next calendar that we put out, and that is for the financial year starting with July 1, 2017, will be full of interest. And the board actually will be discussing that at length tomorrow, and we'll be out with the clubs with a draft by early December.
Is there going to be a change to the organisational structure at Harness Racing New South Wales? Obviously, the announcement that Reed Sanders would be leaving came out more than a month ago, but Will, as a result of him leaving, will there be a massive change to the organisational structure at Harness Racing New South Wales?
I wouldn't say there's a massive change. There will be not a different approach, but there'll be different heads of the different departments. Whereas Reed was in charge of a lot of the operational issues, that will be split up between two or three people who are already here at Harness Racing New South Wales. There is no intention of employing anybody else to replace him.
Reed, look, he is a very hard worker. He came into Harness Racing New South Wales at a time when the sport needed strong leadership, and I think that's something that Reed will be remembered for.
Yeah, his diligence is unquestionable. His contribution is probably immeasurable for the dark times that we were going through with the green light saga, which reached so far and touched so many different areas of harness racing in New South Wales. So, you know, is he irreplaceable? Well, nobody isn't. So that's one thing. But his contribution is well known. Some people think, well, there'll be a softening or a lessening at harness racing New South Wales going forward. I can assure you that, and all those participants, that certainly isn't the case. It needs to be a level playing field. Everyone needs to be treated equally, and every aspect that the integrity department look at has different components and different parts to it. So going forward, our integrity team will be just as strong, and we will continue to battle something that we really shouldn't, because, you know, we all love this sport. We're all passionate about the sport. We just need to be fair and reasonable about what we do, and look at the level playing field and the equality of every aspect.
And what about four participants listening? What do you think of the current health of the harness racing industry in New South Wales?
I think it's very strong. Now, certainly there'll be some people that are affected in a certain way that they'll think that they're not getting the opportunities that they would really like, but we're strong. We have a strong integrity team. We have very good prize money in New South Wales. We are looking at every aspect all the time. We don't just sit there and watch things go. We have reviews as they go forward. We're building a new track very shortly at Wagga, and we've got other plans in place. So, yes, we are in a good position. We believe we'll be in a strong position at the end of the 5 years when the tax parity is fully rolled out. But that doesn't mean we sit on our hands. We must keep going forward and trying to find new ways to invent and reinvent ourselves. We're no different to any other sporting operation. The cricket, we know how 2020 has sort of impacted on the other forms of the sport. You see where traditional rugby league matches will be dropped in place of something new that the public have been drawn to. And harness racing is no different. We need to be in front of the curve if we can. And one of the big things that we really need to be, and the greyhound industry unfortunately suffered through that social license impact, and it's good to see that there has been a reverse there, and those good people in greyhound racing industry are back involved with their sport again. But harness racing is no different, and we need to make sure that we're looking at what we're doing and making sure we have that social license to continue on.
Just on that, and I know Edward Rennell caused a bit of a stir when he said that, in his personal opinion, that whips maybe, there's no place for whips in racing, and it was his opinion that it would be good to see whips taken out of the sport. What's your thoughts on that matter?
My thoughts and my position are well documented. They've been documented for over a decade now. I don't think there's a real use for whips in the industry. In saying that, I don't think that they should be taken away from drivers. But it's an evolving world. It's a changing world. We see how animal cruelty, and there's a lot of difference between animal cruelty and carrying a whip in a race. There is no comparison, really. But we have to look at what is acceptable in this day and age for what we're doing. And if the end result is sometime in the future that the whips can't be used in races, well, that will be what it is. But it'll be a consensus position. It'll be the majority position. But we must be guided by what is happening around us.
And one more thing. Saturday night at Menangle, when the barrier arm smashed into the side of the fence and unfortunately broke off, and it caused the late scratching of Lombo Kota Kinabalu. I know that there was some talk when Mr. Brightside galloped that he may well have jumped part of the barrier that was that might have remained on the track. You've spoken to everyone involved and said it wasn't part of the barrier that was left on the track?
Yeah, certainly two things there. Most unfortunate incident that caused the gate to hit the outside fence. Immediately the club has looked at what can they do to make it better. Harness Racing New South Wales is working with them, but it's not only Menangle, it'll be at every track. So that's one point. But in the second instance with I'm Mr. Brightside, certainly didn't jump anything that had anything to do with the incident with the mobile barrier that happened two or three races before. It was just one of those things. Horses, as we all know, do have bandages on them. It may have been a bandage. It could have even been a piece of paper, only a small piece of paper that had blown over the fence. But it categorically nothing to do with the mobile barrier.
All right, John, thanks for that. And we'll catch up with you again in the near future.
Thank you, Greg.
There he is, John Dummersy. He's the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales, giving us an update into what's going on at the moment in the industry. And obviously interesting to hear there that there's a couple of high-profile cases expected to continue at Harness Racing New South Wales in relations to hearings and appeals. But we'll wait to hear more about whether they will continue this week. Interesting to catch up with Kevin Pizzuto, because he's the trainer of Freyberg, who will go around in heat number three. And as I've mentioned already on the show, I think that's the strongest heat going into Friday night, with the likes of Hector JJ, Restrepo, Franco Nelson and Bling It On. Now, Freyberg was one horse who actually did race on Friday night, and we got to see him handle Gloucester Park. I thought his run was really good. And Kevin Pizzuto, his trainer, is joining us on the show. Morning, Kev.
Good morning, Greg.
Mate, what did you make of the run on Friday night?
Yeah, no, I reckon he went super. He needed the run. It was a big task for him. He just landed like 5 days ago, so I was wrapped with him.
He wasn't beaten all that far. He's beaten a couple of metres. They got home in 28.4, 28.4. Obviously, improvement there. Are you happy with the way that he settled into WA?
Yeah, he's settled in right. Real good now. He worked real good this morning. I was very happy with him. There was a strong headwind, so yeah, he worked real strong.
I know you were keen to get him into the Inter Dominion Series last year, and you were very happy when he got into the top 30 this year. How's he going to handle those four runs in the space of 2 weeks? Because we know he'll handle the small track. That's no problems with him at all, and he's got that good gate speed if he draws well. So how will he handle the four runs in 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, he shouldn't have any problem handling it.
So you're
not a bad trainer, mate.
You're looking forward to going into the series then, by the sounds of it?
Yeah. He's not the best horse in the series, but I'm going to give it a shot.
No, well, he definitely has deserved his spot in the series. He's been racing extremely well here in New South Wales. And if you draw well on Friday night, you won't be afraid to use him. That's what we like about the way that you race your horses.
Oh, yeah, I don't like burning him off too hard, but around this track I will.
Yeah, and Stewie McDonald, will he retain the drive for the series?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, well, he loves him.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a bit of fun with him over there. Kev, all the best of luck on Friday night. Good luck with the draw later today, and we'll catch up with you again during the series.
Not a problem, Greg. See ya.
There he is, Kevin Pizzuto, trainer of Freyberg, who is one of the runners in the Inter-Dominion going into Friday night. It is going to be an absolute cracker of a night. You'll hear all the action here on Sky. You'll also see it if you're near a Sky monitor. Gareth Hall, Adam Hamilton will be live from the track on Friday night. I'll look after the hosting duties in the studio. And then, of course, we can look forward to the second round of heats next Tuesday, the third round of heats on the Friday, and then it's a week until the big grand final. And as I said, one of the deepest interdominions we've had for quite a number of years, especially in the last decade or so with these three runs. Just want to mention the race at Menangle on Saturday night. Of course, that was won there was a couple of good races there on Saturday night. We'll firstly talk about Arms of an Angel, who won the Norm's Daughter. She was very good in front, went 150.7. I think it's the fourth time she's broken 151 in her career when she's won a race. She's obviously gone quicker than 151 in her placings in the Miracle Mile and the Chariots. But Lauren Tritton saying after the race she just wants her to relax a little bit more mid-race, but she's getting there. She's definitely improving, so that was good to see. Helen's Bonus ran an absolute cracker to run second. That race that we were talking to John Dumazy about, Lombo Kota Kinabalu, the first score up, the Mobile was driven wide on the track, and unfortunately the arm of the Mobile contacted a pole on the side of the track, which broke the arm of the Mobile. It bounced up off the track, it hit Lombo Kota Kinabalu in the flank. They took him off the track. He was okay, but as a precaution, the Tritton camp scratched Lombo Kota Kinabalu just to make sure everything was okay with him. Shane says the horse jogged yesterday. He won't race this week again as a precaution, but he looks to have got through it okay. That race subsequently run again. All Black Stride was the winner on that occasion. 150.7 the race time from him. Luke McCarthy, who drove the horse, suggested that there may be a gear change going forward. He did just want to switch off at a bad time in the race, and they might put winkers on him just so he keeps his mind on the job. And that was the race where I missed the bright side, loomed up to win and then jumped something on the track. There's no doubt he's jumped something. Harness Racing New South Wales, the Chief Executive John Dumazy, saying it had nothing to do with the Mobile barrier arm that was broken in the score up for the first running off that race. They're obviously saying that they know what it is, whether it's a piece of tape or a piece of paper, but it wasn't part of the Mobile. Unfortunate for connections of I'm Mr. Brightside, who looked the winner at that stage of the race. So that's what happened last Saturday night. This Saturday night, another cracking race. The Kevin Robinson free-for-all is the main race. It's a Group 3 event. Arms of an Angel, Better Bet Black, All Black Stride, Tactate, I'm Mr. Brightside again. It is going to be a really good event. 11 runners to go over the 16:09, and that race goes at 7:09 on Saturday night. So look forward to the Inter-Dominion on Friday, and then we back up at Menangle on Saturday night with the running of the Kevin Robinson free-for-all. Cozzy?
Good on you. We'll talk to you next week, Hazy.
Thank you, mate.